Grab your flashlights, grab your tinfoil hat, because we're on the hunt for some aliens and spirits. Maybe we'll find a golden ball along the way. This week, we're covering the anime Dandadan. Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we review a different anime, and we give you some fun recipes to go along with it. Joining me this week is...
Karma, aka 28 Savage Days, coming at you.
Thank you, Karma, for joining me this week. I'm so excited to talk about this anime with you.
This is a good one. I'm so happy you picked this one. Now I see why it's so popular.
And now we have some fun recipes for you to try out while watching Dandadan. First up, we have the Turbo Hoagie, based off our favorite character, Turbo Granny. This is a yakisoba pan, so grab your favorite roll, I would suggest milk bread, cut it open and add some fried up yakisoba noodles and your favorite fixins. Top with some Japanese mayo if you want to have some fun with it. Our cocktail this week is Give Us Your Banana. This is a fun banana take on a piña colada with coconut rum, melon liqueur, creme de banana, coconut cream, and some pineapple juice. Let's hope the aliens don't take you away. And lastly, we have our mocktail for the week, the Momo Punch, with watermelon juice, lime juice, simple syrup, basil leaves, and topped with lemon lime soda. This is going to give you that extra spirit kick. If you try any of these recipes out, we would love to see them, so please tag us at Anime Bento. Now let's jump into the show. A girl who believes in ghosts but not aliens, a boy who believes in aliens but not ghosts, make a stupid bet. They both turn out to be spooktacularly wrong and immediately cursed. It's a high-octane comic horror action rom-com. But the real heart of the story is the struggle to recover one dude's missing testicles. You can stream this on Crunchyroll or Netflix. Or not or, and Netflix. Stream it on both. Watch it on all platforms. Make it popular, everyone. Spoiler warnings. Spoilers lie beyond this point. Enter at your own risk. The following information may ruin the ending of season one for you. Okay, Karma, I'm so excited to talk about this anime. I'm very excited to talk about it with you. What were some of your first impressions?
So, this Dandadan kind of just exploded in front of me when, I guess because of Netflix. When scrolling through Netflix and you see, you know, when they give you, maybe you would like this. And of course, I have a vast, long line of Netflix TV shows and movies that I need to watch. Dandadan was one of them that I said, oh, it looks good. I love the topography. I'm already digging the intro. Let me just save it for later. So I saved it. But then all my friends around me were talking about it. And when I'm attending comic conventions, I'm seeing it being cosplayed everywhere, and then I start seeing panels for the show Dandadan. So it's been like months now that I've been just like Dandadan, Dandadan. So I'm like, I have to watch this series because it's been talked about so much. What is the big deal about this series? Well, now I know why. Because this story is so crazy. It's so bold. I pressed play on it, let it go, and it just gets you, it starts you right off. We're introduced into this like violence already. I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? I keep going and it's making me a little bit uncomfortable, but it's so wild. It's very unpredictable. It's not shy about mixing up genres with comedy and supernatural and horror, because then we get introduced to the two characters. We see their bet. It gets weird. They go their separate ways. It's getting even more weird. I'm introduced to these weird monsters. And I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? I'm having to stop, pause, and rewind because I'm just like, I can't believe I'm really watching something like this. But then I'm just like, I'm really watching this. This is something I think I can kind of dig. Let me just keep going with it to learn more about it. I'm still in training with anime as an anime watcher, so I appreciated how the show didn't hold back. It challenged me to keep up with all the plot twists that it had, the shifts between the tone changes, and I started accepting the weird as part of the ride. And it reminds me of like, it was like X-Files meets shonen anime meets horror B-movie, all in a nice festival. The visual flair, the animation, the entity designs, all of that really helped to sell the TV series. There was just moments that I was just like, what in the heck? But then I just went along with it. It was so interesting. So that was my first impression of it. I was like, yes, I want more. Let's keep this going.
My first impression of Dandadan back when I watched it, I don't know. Gosh, this was like months ago, more than months ago. It was a while back I watched Dandadan. But my first kind of intro to Dandadan was through the theme song. We don't really talk about the songs as much in the podcast, but the song is by Creepy Nuts. And they wrote the song especially for the anime. Because once you hear the song, you're like, how could this be for anything but this anime? They say Dandadan in it like 1,000 times. But I heard the song and I became so obsessed with this song. It was my alarm clock song to wake me up basically every day to work. I would just hear, you know, it just starts. It's such a crazy song. And then I went to watch the opening on YouTube for the anime. And I was like, what is this? And then eventually I was just dive into the anime, just start watching it. And it's insane. It's a hard sell to my friends. It's very hard to.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Me a while.
Yeah. It's a hard sell to say to someone, come sit and watch this. It's kooky. It's crazy. And then I always get the phone call. My friends will be like, I just watched episode one. What is happening? What is going on? Why are the aliens attacking her and then ripping clothes off and wanting bananas? And
My coworker, because remember how I told you how finally, because I've been seeing it everywhere, conventions, they have panels now. I keep seeing that trailer, hearing that song. And then my coworker was finally, when I asked, what is your favorite animes of right now? Dandadan is always on all of my friends' lists. It's like one or it's like the one, the second one or the first one. It's always Freeling, Dandadan, Solo Leveling, and I would always hear Dandadan. So I'm just like, what is it? And so give me a quick synopsis of it. So he's telling me this. And at the beginning, I'm just like, and this is your favorite? And I just could not understand it. But because of this podcast, and because you were one of the ones that said it was your favorite, so I'm like, I have to see why this is one of everyone's favorite. So, wow. Yes. That description, man, I'm just like, huh?
Episode one starts out hot. It dives in. It's deep end. It's crazy. But if you can get through episode one, you pass that, then it's very charming. It's very loving. I did a rewatch because we said we were going to do Dandadan for the show. And you hadn't watched it yet. And I like to do a rewatch before we dive back into it. I was rewatching it and in my mind, I was thinking, you know who these two characters remind me of? And just a throwback to our first episode we did together, My Dress Up Darling, I was like, this is Kitagawa and Gojo.
Yeah.
Coded.
Yes, it is.
These two characters are them two in supernatural alien world.
It's exactly that. That's the same. That was my thoughts exactly. I was just like, yes.
Because I was worried.
My dress up darling meets X-Files.
Yeah,
who were the two
worried.
X-Files characters?
Oh, was it Mulder and Scully?
Yes.
I was worried about this when I suggested it to you because the first episode is intense. And just right. for the listeners, once we pick the anime, we don't talk about it. I talk with all the co-hosts throughout the week and things like that. But we don't talk about the anime. We save it for when we get here. So I'm always nervous about, oh, did Karma hate Dan to Dan? Was this a bad pick? I'm worried. But when I was doing my rewatch, I was like, oh, these two characters are just Gojo and Kitagawa. So she's going to love this.
Yep. Yep. I love their dynamic. Oh, my God. But we'll talk about our favorite moments later, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about our moments. And we'll sprinkle it through as we talk. No hold bars or no bars hold.
But for your very first watch, it got you on the first episode. You just kept going.
Oh, I love yokais. I love spirits. I love aliens, cryptids. All that stuff is my jam. Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster. I'm into all of that. So
gotcha.
When this show was saying we're talking about aliens and we're talking about Bigfoot and all these conspiracy theories, I was hooked. When I started watching it, it was already done. Season one was already done. So I binged it basically. And then the movie came out. It wasn't really a movie. It was one. If you're an anime fan, you know that sometimes the new season, the next season will come out in theaters and it'll be the first two episodes of the next season about a month early before it airs on regular Netflix
Wait,
or wherever
it's
streaming.
Did they do that with Dan to Dan?
They did. So Dan to Dan season two, the first two episodes came out in theaters. And I really wanted to see it so badly. And I asked one of my best friends, I asked him, hey, do you want to see Dan to Dan movie with me? He is not that big into anime. One of his favorite animes is Demon Slayer. And Dan to Dan is not like Demon Slayer Ella at all. And I said, hey, do you want to watch Dan to Dan season 2's movie with me? And he said, sure. Do I need to watch season 1? And I thought to myself, maybe I should just be like, let's go in. Let's just dive in. And I was like, no. You should watch season 1, knowing that the first episode is crazy. And to my surprise, he said the first two episodes were a hurdle, but then he started really enjoying it. And then the movie was fun for him. And then he said that he would continue watching. I don't know if he knows that season 2 is out, or he might be waiting for it to be over, which I believe at the time of this episode dropping, season 2 will be done, so you could binge all of season 2. But that's kind of my experience with Dan to Dan. I don't want this podcast to always be about, like, I love this show so much, but I love this show so much. It's one of my favorites. I watch it all the time. If I'm not watching Survivor or a Marvel movie or a Marvel show, I'm watching anime. And so this is one that's in my rotation. It's
great for spooky season, too.
Oh, it's perfect for October. Yeah. Or if you're like me and want spooky season to be year-long and you just kind of sprinkle spookiness throughout your life.
Man, I just could those... What do you call it? Are they the protagonists? Is it,
which one?
No, antagonists are the evil
like
people.
Like the aliens and the...
Oh, my God. The businessmen? Because I even had to get into a deep-dive discussion with my coworker. To help me explain to me the significance of the look of these aliens. But then we realized that, oh, spoiler alert. Yeah, we did do the spoiler warning.
Yeah.
That they're dressed as businessmen.
Aliens. There's like their costumes.
Right. Gotcha.
And they're like, we want your bananas.
And I understand why they choose that. Oh, yeah. And then I love the lore of... our anti-hero? Is that what we would call her?
Turbo Granny? Should we just dive into the characters?
Let's just dive into the characters. I'm ready.
You know what? I'm going to skip. We're going to jump around. We're going to do something totally different this episode. Because I think I'm going to start with a sub-character. We should just get out of the way. She's going to become your favorite. I'm sure she's right. One of my favorites. I think she's one of Karma's favorites. If you love cats, you're going to love this character. We'll just start off with the beloved Turbo Granny.
So from what I've learned from the first episode, Momo had only knows of the history of Turbo Granny, but she's never encountered her, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it just so happens that Okarun did when she sent him off to that area. But
yeah,
so she already knew how to
find Turbo.
She already knew. Right, got it. But I guess knowing she didn't know if anybody would be able to see or witness, she just heard stories that people have seen her. And she knows the history of her. Like, from what I've heard from you and my coworker, big Dandadan fan, is that she senses when there's sexual predator and she goes to the rescue. Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Why did Turbo Granny interfere with the probing of Momo by the aliens?
Yeah. So I believe that, well, Turbo Granny is a yokai spirit and she inhabits, I believe it's an abandoned like train tunnel or some kind of abandoned subway area that they've closed off. And there has been a whole bunch of missing people and missing murders there. And her kind of backstory is that she defends people who are being assaulted. Like, she defends women who are being attacked. And she's kind of like the guardian spirit of that, even though she's...
Love that.
She's evil and crazy. But... And just to get... Well, Turbo Granny is just is the main yokai that we kind of have throughout the season. So I'm going to lump this in here with this, is that all the yokai, all the spirits that we meet, for the most part, are, I think, started off with good intentions. Like, they were good people alive, and then the world had twisted them into becoming something that's dark and evil. Like, they were hurt so bad by the world.
Wow, you're opening my mind. Yes.
So, yeah, that the intentions are pure in the beginning, and that, like, they become so tainted and so, I don't know, jaded is maybe the right word, or...
That's almost how those same spirits and ghosts we meet in Supernatural episodes. When we learn more about their past, we see that they were victims themselves and just a product of their environment, and that's how they became evil. And they possessed these certain possessions of what they owned, and that's what can help set their spirit free, is what the Winchesters find out. Shout out to the Winchesters. Oh my God, I want to do a Supernatural Winchesters podcast.
I will be on for season one. I love season one. After that, kind of go, well, then there's Castiel.
Yeah.
I love Castiel. But, so, I don't know.
It's seasons 1 through 3.
Those are solid.
And then when they start doing the Monster of the Week, then that's a whole nother podcast.
Okay, side talk, though. I got to get it. Now you're right.
Sorry,
just when one dies and then the other one comes, like, they come back, like, one dies and then they got to go to hell and bring him back, and then the other one dies and we got to go bring them. Once that cycle happens, that's when I'm like, this is a tough watch. But overall, Supernatural, pretty solid show. I throw it up there with Buffy. They're both just really, they go off the handles eventually, but pretty solid watches all the way through. Not that this is a Supernatural podcast. But back to Turbo Granny. Sorry, guys. Turbo Granny. Turbo Granny is such an interesting character. So funny. So crude and rude to everyone. But that makes her so endearing to me. I don't know how to better put this, but Seals Ocaron's penis and balls when we first meet her. She steals them, and the only way to get them back is to, like, defeat... The only way to get them back is to defeat her and reclaim his missing man parts. I don't know. It's just so hilarious, so funny. Turbo Granny has become one of my favorite cats.
Right, but what does she call them?
His balls?
Yeah.
Well, they turn into the golden balls, the golden testicles.
Yeah, but she says, "I want your." She called them something else. Like, well, remember the aliens?
The aliens what call it the aliens bananas. Called? They're like, "We want your banana."
But then I could have sworn she called them something else. Okay, I have to rewatch. I didn't remember. She didn't actually say balls.
Does she say testicles?
Turbo Granny.
Yeah, she calls them the golden testicles.
Oh, okay.
Turbo Granny is a yokai spirit who runs really fast. Eventually, they defeat her and they put her spirit inside of one of those lucky cat figurines. And that's how she becomes a cat. And that's what brings the comic, the like comedic things of mm-hmm. it. Are there any like fun Turbo Granny moments that you love?
I knew while Momo's almost being probed by the aliens, and she's got her phone on speakerphone. And so she can hear Ocaron being possessed by Turbo Granny. And I just love when she's telling him, "Don't run. Do not run." I love that kind of the canter, the tidbits, the instructions of it all. I keep having to bring it back to Supernatural. It just reminds me of like the humor of that type of writing. It's like you're in this very violent, dangerous activity going on right now. And she's very calm. And she's like, "Don't run. If you run, you know, she'll get you and she'll possess you." What a Turbo Granny moment. She's just so funny, man. I just love when she comes out. Like, remember the part when, once again, poor Momo is being hunted after by those aliens to get probed. And out of nowhere, Turbo Granny comes again and rescues her. I just love it. She just comes out of nowhere and she's like, "Well, you know." And I love the voice. The voice acting is so spot on. It is so funny. Now, is this a Japanese series, right?
Yes.
It started off as a manga.
Yeah, it was a manga first and then
manga.
Yeah.
And so it can be heard or watched in Japanese?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the next thing I'll need to do.
Do you want to know? I have a funny Turbo Granny moment, or just kind of how she is, but you want to know an interesting fact about Turbo Granny and the voice?
Yes, please.
In English? If you are a Power Ranger fan, the voice actor for Turbo Granny is Barbara Goodson, who is the voice actor of Rita uh-huh. Repulsa.
Really?
That's in the
really?
Power Rangers show. So it's if you're watching the English dub, because a little fact about Power Rangers is that is Japanese footage dubbed into English. So when you see Rita, it's not an American actress playing Rita. It's a Japanese actress who's speaking Japanese, and they took that footage and they dubbed it in English.
Gotcha.
And Barbara Goodson is the English voice actor who does Rita Repulsa.
Did not know that.
So I challenge you to rewatch some Turbo Granny season 1 and 2. And now you can hear, all you hear is Rita. Like, you hear Rita.
Here is Rita Repulsa.
Yeah, now you hear Rita. It's so, as soon as I found that out, I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is rude Rita. This is, if Rita could swear, this is Rita Repulsa.
You just raised my review of it just on that information.
Are you changing your...
You should have started off with that, child. If you were my co-worker,
I wasn't even
going to
bring
said,
it up in this episode,
Rita
and then you were like...
Repulsa's voice
yeah.
is one of the characters. I would have went straight for it already.
Oh, yeah,
I would have like, oh, man, I got to hear this.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Power Ranger fan, too. Yeah. Rita Repulsa's voice
Power Ranger fan, but I love Rita Repulsa. Is Power Rangers rewatchable, though?
To me, yes. To others, probably not. I would love to do a Power Rangers show, but it's a tough one to get people to sit through.
It's got to be a tough one.
You got to love
that one. Oh, my
cheesiness.
God. My rating would go all up and down on a Power Rangers. Albeit, I do like that. What was that? 2018, 2019 movie?
Oh, that one. That's the movie.
That movie.
The fandom just like is torn on that movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It
I'm
is.
One of,
it
I'm
is
always fun. One of those. I'm always one of those where, you know, that's the movie that the fandom disliked. I'm always that person.
But,
okay, back to.
Yeah, back to Turbo Granny. This isn't one specific Turbo Granny moment, but my favorite thing about Turbo Granny is how unhelpful she is. She just wants to get her powers back. Her powers are stuck in Ocaron, and she just wants her powers back. She just wants to become back to her yokai form and not trapped in the cat body anymore. And she kind of tags along with the group. She's always in the backpack, and whenever they're in trouble, she pops up and she's like... Whenever they're in trouble, she pops up and she says, oh, this is blah, blah, spirit or whatever. And they ask, can you help us? Can you do something? And she says something like, she always says something along the lines of something rude. She says.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
She says something rude.
She always loves to roast people.
Oh, yeah. She'll come
while
at
they're
you.
In. Dire situations. She's just standing there.
And she'll walk off sometimes.
Insulting.
They'll be fighting a yokai in the spirit and they're being beat up. And they're losing. And she just walks off. She's like, I'm going to do my own thing. She's just going to do her own thing now. So Turbo Granny.
She's the anime version of that one aunt who'll hop you up and drag you in the same breath.
That is true. I don't know if she hypes you up, though. Her hype is making fun of you. Her hype is making fun of your situation. And then she'll double down on it.
She'll give a little encouragement. You're running
and then
pretty
she's
fast
like,
there.
She only encourages them when she's in danger. She's in danger. She says, help me. You need to do this, this, and this. And then when she's good, she basically shoots. She's deuces and she walks away.
Deuces. I respect that.
I think this leads us. Now let's jump back. Let's go back and let's hit our main two. In this anime, I would say, again, there's two main characters. So I want to talk about. Okay, which one do you want to talk about first? I definitely have a favorite of the two, but I want to hear who.
Ocaron.
Who do you want to. Oh, that's my favorite. I love Ocaron.
Because I'm always going to. I just love the unpopular kid. I'm that person. I'm going to be attracted to him. I know he's shy. Make him feel a little bit uncomfortable because he's so cute with the glasses. So he introduces himself as Ken.
Well, we don't know his name.
He's told me not to go too much. But he says Ken when she asks him his name.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, okay, a little backstory. Momo is obsessed with this actor named Ken Takahara. And anyone she dates is because it reminds her of that person. Now let's jump to Ocaron. Ocaron, a.k.a. Ken Takahara. Oh, did I say Takahara before? If I didn't say I think I said Takahara. I meant to say Takahara.
You said Takahara. Wait, so she's in love.
She's in love with
a
an actor
named
Ken Takahara.
And they're not related.
No, they're not the same person. But she's always like, I'm going to fall in love with Ken Takahara.
And
that's Ocaron's real name, yes. Because Ocaron is not his real name.
Creepy. Yeah, she named him that, right?
Yeah, because she doesn't want him to say his real name.
And then how come he doesn't, like, I don't like how, I still don't, I don't, that part I didn't like how soft he was. Because she's like, your name for now is going to be Okarun. He's like, okay. I'm like, why's he got to be like that?
Well, his name, you want another interesting fact?
Yes, yes.
His name derives from a cult. It's like, because he's in love with the occult. Okarun, occult. That's why she nicknames him that.
Because
he's in love with the occult. Because he loves the occult and spaceships and cryptids. And she loves, well, she doesn't love, but she is into the world of ghosts and spirits and yokai. Which I always thought were kind of similar worlds, but from this anime, they're two different worlds.
I would say they're two different worlds.
Oh, you think so? I always feel like, I always thought those people would mesh together. But maybe there is a real world divide of the ghost and the aliens people. A little just backstory for, like, a little info for Okarun is he's a shy, nerdy kid. Doesn't have too many friends. He's obsessed with aliens and UFOs. And the way I was getting Gojo vibes from him is, again, we have another character who doesn't have too many friends. No friends, actually. Yeah. And the other reason I feel like he allows her to call him Okarun is because he does feel like, oh, I finally found a friend. Though I do appreciate this one pushes the love story a little more. Like we kind of get it more. We see the attraction that he has to her, that he's falling in love with her faster than we did see in My Dress Up Darling. So I did appreciate that. What are some of your other thoughts on Okarun?
What else? He's just so cute.
The glasses.
I know, it's the glasses. It's definitely the glasses. And then when he takes them off, I just love his vulnerable moments. Yeah, but you're right. Just the familiarities between the characters of this and My Dress Up Darling. How, you know, he looks at her one moment, then he really, really, really looks at her. And he's just like, then his heart kind of skips a beat a little bit. And he's like, oh, I think I like this girl even a little bit more. But would she like me? And I love that little back and forth. Between the two of them, because then she kind of looks at him differently at one point, too. But I love that third character that slides in, her childhood best friend.
Oh, my God. He's one of my favorites. We'll get to him soon. That is my favorite. He's my favorite.
Because I love the reactions of Okarun when he appears. Oh, it's just so, it's so adorable. I even rewound a couple of times to re-experience some of those moments because it cracks me up when his little jealousy and his thoughts in his mind, like he's thinking this all through and calculating and stuff. And I don't know, Okarun is just so, he's just so cute.
He's just,
how can you not like him?
He is just best guy. He's amazing. He's sweet.
He's smart.
I don't know if he's smart.
When it comes to
he's very
wanting to know the details and research and investigation.
Maybe.
I would say he's very
enthusiastic. He's very.
Okay. All right.
He's very enthusiastic. When he dives in, he goes full force. I love that he is always there for Momo. That when she is in danger, he is willing to put himself in physical danger for him. And this kind of. Where I said this is like My Dress Up Darling, but with action. Because we would see, like, I was like, man, Gojo would definitely do this for Kitagawa.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, Okarun puts himself in danger. He sacrifices his body all the time.
Oh, yeah, we didn't speak upon that.
Yeah, he is possessed by Turbo Granny in the very first episode.
Mm-hmm.
They do find a way to split the spirits up into Turbo Granny cats and then. Who has no powers, and then Okarun, who has all the powers of Turbo Granny, kind of the strength and speed that Turbo Granny had is in him. And he's able to shift into, I don't know, there's not really another name for him when he shifts.
So,
but like,
so what he, so he, so because he was possessed by Turbo Granny, and they removed her from him, that left a residue of a spirit, of her spirit inside of him. So now he has abilities?
No, they were only able, so when they split Turbo Granny from him, they moved her consciousness into the cat. But just her mind is in the cat, but all her powers stayed in his body. That's why Turbo Granny has no powers at all. And he has all the powers.
So that's why she just keeps giving advice.
Yes, because she wants to reunite with her powers.
Gotcha. She was able to do something. Then she come to the, when she came to the rescue, what did she do? She just physically...
She just shows up and says something.
Yeah, but what about when she helped at the very end, when she helped her with those businessmen?
She says what to do. She points out, oh, you should, because Momo has her own powers we'll get to in a minute.
Right.
She gives her advice.
I'm going to have to rewatch
it. She helps her out. Yeah, you're going to see Turbo Granny doesn't have any powers. Her power is knowledge.
I thought she physically did something. She didn't like jump up.
Oh, she
up
pushes things.
Sidekick. Okay, gotcha.
She does kick people when she slaps people when she's annoyed, but she has no psychic powers or no super strength.
Gotcha.
She just
no super strength. No speed.
She has the strength of a cat. Well, no, she has a strength of an anime cat, which is powerful.
So she still has that sense of, I'm going to help her out because she's in danger of these predatory men.
Not necessarily. Turbo Granny's only motive is to get her powers back. And if Momo and Okoron are killed or hurt, then she'll never get her powers back.
Yep. Even Momo was like, thank you, Turbo Granny, for saving me again. And she did have something smart to say after that.
Yeah, I think Turbo Granny...
Oh, that's right. She did just direct her.
Yeah. I think Turbo Granny did kick someone. Turbo Granny does funny things.
Yeah.
But...
Okay.
Yeah.
But she has no more of her magical...
No. Turbo Granny's main motive is to just get her powers back.
So their promise is, if I help you find his balls, you'll give me my power back. You'll reunite me with my power back. That's what their whole journey is.
That is the gist of it. Well, he does get his balls back.
Yeah, but that's why they kept her along, Turbo Granny.
And the only way Turbo Granny can be reunited with his powers are through Momo's grandma. Because Momo's grandma split them apart the only person who can bring his back. We'll get into Momo's grandma in a minute. But I think we've been beating around the bush. And now that we've been talking about all these other characters, Momo is a very focused point of everyone. I love Momo. Momo's funny. She's just not my favorite, but Momo's good. Momo's a great character. So let's talk about some Momo.
Because Momo was kind of, I don't like the way she talks about her aunt. She's a little bit rude.
Was it her aunt?
I don't know if it's her generation. Oh, that is her grandma. I'm sorry.
It's because she looks so young.
Yeah, it is her grandma.
She's so young.
She looks like auntie.
She could be auntie.
I'm sorry. They were like, that's your grandma? I'm sorry. I'm doing that. That can't be a grandma. That's an auntie. I think somebody says that at some point.
Maybe because she just... Okay. We'll talk about Momo and then we'll get to Momo's grandma next. But Momo.
Yeah, Momo. That's right.
Yeah,
man.
The things I love about Momo, I'll do the things I don't like about Momo. The things I love about Momo is that she, like some people, maybe me, is a very hopeless romantic person. We want romances badly in our lives. I'm going to say that. We both love romance. We love the idea of love, and we want to find that person that is going to match us, or we have an idea of who we want to be with. So I love that about Momo. The other thing about Momo that I really love is her loyalty. her loyalty to her friends, and her loyalty to her grandma. In the beginning, we learn that Momo believes in ghosts. She believes in the spirit world, but we find out in the first episode that she's never seen a spirit before, and she's never seen a ghost before. She just knows this of her grandma, who is an exorcist, or she runs a temple. And Momo says that even though she's never seen a ghost or spirit in her life, that she always defended and she hated when people made fun of her grandma. And she would always defend her grandma. Mm-hmm. And she would always listen mm-hmm. to whatever her grandma said because she believed in her so much. Going mm-hmm. back, a little Momo backstory is that both of Momo's parents have passed away. And then her grandma took her in. And Momo, in her heart, and she says in one of the episodes, is that someone who is willing to take me in my time and help raise me is someone that I never want to have anyone make fun of, or I will always protect. And she does protect her grandma with every being in her, every fiber in her bones. Is that the right saying? Every fiber in your bones? Every mm-hmm. fiber in your body, yep. I believe is the saying.
Yes.
And she defends her no matter how stupid it is or how yep. embarrassing it is to Momo. She will defend them. And you see that, in a sense, to her relationship with Okoron. Mm-hmm. And that whatever is going through with him and whatever troubles he's having, she yep. will defend him. Even in the very first episode, when she doesn't know who he is, she's walking down yep. the hallway. She sees that and these guys are making fun of him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she sits down and she turns to the guys making fun of him and says something snide, or it's yep. lame to make fun of people like that and whatnot.
Without hesitation, she defends him.
She didn't even know who he was. Little did she know this was going to spark a journey for her.
Yep.
And it's just, I love that. That's what I love about Momo. I love that spirit that she has. I also love her fit. I'm just going to be like, that's a good fit. Like that pink okay. sweater. I know it's a school uniform, but the pink sweater on top makes it. It makes it Momo. And it's like a little oversized yeah, sweater. She's got that street yeah. vibe to her that I mm-hmm. love.
She does. Because I've been looking as I've been watching these animes. I'm trying to see if there's a character that I'm going to gel with that I like their fit that I want to recreate that outfit.
You should do cosplay. Momo. Momo's a good fit.
But seem like it's not, I wanted a little bit more street. I needed a little bit more street. Tough.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I wonder if I'll try to find this on Instagram and repost it. I did see a cosplayer who cosplayed Momo. So Momo has supernatural powers. She can create these giant spiritual hands and she can grab things with these spiritual hands that she creates. I'll try to find it, everyone, and I will repost it on yes, our Instagram please. Page. Follow us at Anime Bento. I'll send it to you earlier. That's another thing I like about Momo. She has like cool spiritual ghost yeah. powers.
Right.
Things I don't like about Momo, I just find her annoying at times. She's too cool. If that makes sense. She's one of those people who's like, I'm too cool for this, or I'm not gonna say exactly what I mean, and I think that makes for funny moments, but I feel bad for Okoron. I wish she would just be like, I like you, Okoron, because she does like him. She's developing these feelings, and
she does.
She makes it more subtle than he does. Okoron is very loud about like, I must protect you, Miss Ayase.
I love it.
She's very, she only has in her mind. She only has in her mind where she's like, oh my gosh, am I falling in love with this guy? Am I falling in love with Okoron? Or how can I be falling in love with Okoron? It's again, I hate to compare this whole episode's like comparing it to My Dress Up Darling, but that's totally Kitagawa's thing.
That's totally it. Yep.
Just in her mind when we just are like, please just say it.
This is your lip, Momo. No, yeah. Is it? This is your lip, Miss Aisha.
Yeah, I just...
It's your lip. Oh, my God. I cracked up laughing. And she likes to hog the spotlight. I think so, sometimes. Her tone can switch fast. She can go from being you know, mean, and then all of a sudden she switches to being nice. Do you want something to eat? That's some of the characteristics that I don't like about her, about the character. But she's still figuring herself out, too. So it's character development.
And at the end of the day, she is ride or die. And I love a character who's ride or die with you.
Yep.
And she, you know, now that I think about Momo, I've thought about Momo. This happens a lot when we're doing these episodes, that I feel one way about a character and then suddenly I turn on them. And now I really felt like I didn't like Momo a lot, but now I'm like, oh, I really love Momo.
Okay.
There's that scene. Do you remember that scene? And it's another side character that we'll talk about in a minute. Oh man, I'm gonna say her name. Era is her name. Era. And she's a popular girl in school. And she goes to Okarone, or she's walking with her friends, and she's like, hey, check this out. And she goes to Okarone and she fake flirts with them. She bumps
That's
into
right!
a and she fake flirts with him and is like, oh. Oh, sorry, I bumped into you. She kind of says, like, ooh, you're muscular. Along the lines
right,
of, like,
she
you're
uses
so
her
cute.
Women woes. That's what that's called. Women woes.
Women woes on Okarone. And then she walks away, and she's with her friends again. And I believe she thinks she's out of earshot. And she tells her friends, I just made that guy's day. Or, see how little attention I gave him made him feel so special.
And now he's in love with me.
Yeah. And Momo hears this and gets angry. And I love this. This is one of my favorite moments. Where you see this in a lot of animes where a giant, like, pan just hits people on the head. So a giant pan just hits her on the head. And everyone's like, where'd this pan come from? And
that moment.
And Momo grabs Okarone's, like, let's get out of here. Let's go. And I think a part of it could be a little jealousy. I think a fraction of it is jealousy. But if it's jealousy to friendship, I would say 10% jealousy and 90% friendship. Because I believe
friendship.
That is the Momo person. The Momo person
yes.
would defend her friend
defend.
Like that no matter what. Because she hates people picking on anyone.
Bullies.
Yeah, she hates bullies. You're right. So, you know, I started this little segment being like, I don't like Momo that much. And I'm ending the segment being like, I love Momo.
Yeah, because she's messy in a real human way. She jumps in head first. She fumbles through her feelings, but she always shows up. Yeah, for me, Momo represents that blend of strength and vulnerability that we all have out. And she's, you know, she's still figuring it out. She is like up and down in her own head throughout the first season.
We're talking about Grandma.
Oh my God. I don't know what, she had a cigarette in her mouth, right?
Oh yeah, always, and a baseball bat.
Okay.
Okay. If you haven't
when
watched
she
the
had
anime.
Her leg propped up, oh my God. She flats out just rips her apart and they rip each other apart.
Oh yeah.
And then she like makes her do stuff in order to earn her food. Oh my God. But then she treats her friends when her friends come over. Oh yeah, sure. Come on over and have but then she makes her own granddaughter like work for it. Oh my God, that sounds like my family.
If you're just listening to the podcast and you haven't seen the anime, Momo's grandma, and again, if I don't know, if you played the game Bayonetta, she basically looks like Bayonetta. She has that hair that's kind of toned up. She looks like Bayonetta. She's hilarious.
How do you spell that?
Well, this is going to be tough. Bayonetta. And I did look that up, listeners, so I do not know how to spell Bayonetta.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love this.
Maybe she cosplay Bayonetta.
And who is this?
She's
this
a video game character. Momo's okay. grandma. She is an exorcist. She runs a temple. She is badass. Again, someone who is And, well, let me put how I put this. She is the teacher role in this anime. She is rarely fighting. It's rarely, she beats up stuff. She has her little moments. But she's more here to teach Momo how to use her powers. She's guiding Momo on how to become a powerful spiritual guide, a yokai fighter, as she was. And she's very knowledgeable about the spirit realm. Yeah. So what do you think? Are there anything you want to point out? Like, what are any granny moments, any granny things?
God, this her whole, I just love it. Just how cool, calm, and collected she is. Just like I said, when her friends come over, she's all nice to everybody else but her own granddaughter. Just because she wants the, it's like tough love is how I saw it. But then I love how you could tell that they still do love each other. They truly do love each other. Momo does love her grandmother, even though she will walk out and slam the door and say, I hate you. When in truth, she really does love her. But then I love how she plays it up. I love you, because then her grandmother knows that, oh, she's just saying this to me. And then they get mad at each other. They go back and forth. I just love it. I mean, it's family. That's how family is. It's very complex and difficult at times. But you can't get rid of family, though. Blood is blood. But she was such a breath of fresh air when she was introduced in the TV series.
Yeah, I do.
You can tell that she's seen some wild things. You can tell she's lived a long life and she's seen some things and she knows some things. And she's been hardened by it. She just stays, calm, cool, and collective, but supportive.
I wish there was more of her. I wouldn't mind a whole spinoff of early grandma, kind of her fighting demons and spirits when she was younger. I wouldn't mind all that. That sounds like a cool story. Yeah, overall, great character. I enjoy her. I enjoy the spirit she brings. She's another comic relief person who can just point in there, who just comes out, points the funny things.
Steps in there.
Teaches us a lesson, teaches us how to navigate this world and how Momo can use her powers and guides us in the right direction.
Yeah, she'll come into the moment and she like resets the tone, like if they're in the middle of battle and she'll just, okay, kids, let's finish this. Like, you know, that she'll get it done. I love that. I would like to see more of her in the series. Right.
Okay, so our next character, this is not one of my favorite characters. I honestly, who knows though? I said Momo was my favorite and then I switched at the end.
Yeah, you've got second thoughts.
Yeah, so I don't enjoy this character. I don't like them being a part of the group. But their story was so good. Their episode was so good that we can't skip this one. And it's Ira. Ira is a classmate of them. Ira, actually, I brought her up already. She is that popular girl who flirts with Okoron and makes Momo drop the pan on her. She's kind of just your popular schoolgirl who lives in their own world, in a sense, that thinks that maybe the world revolves around them. And they're the main character. They think they're the main character of the story. It's like one of those people. But her episode was so good that I can't leave her out. The episode that we get with her is... Well,
so good.
She finds one of Okoron's missing testicles, one of his golden balls. And she believes that that gives her demon fighting powers. So she's convinced that she has been chosen to rid the world of demons now. And that this ball is going to give her that power. And she thinks that Momo is a demon. Or she believes she's a demon has possessed Momo. And that with this ball, this golden ball. Sheen has been chosen to exercise that demon out of Momo.
Even though that Momo was transformed to save her. But she doesn't know that at that moment, right?
No, I think she thinks Momo is... I don't know what she thinks of Momo. Well,
like, when did she first get introduced to Momo's inner self? Inner supernatural self?
Momo's powers? Are you thinking of Ocaron?
Ocaron. I'm thinking of Ocaron. Okay.
No, but she wants to exercise Momo. And then she realizes that Ocaron might be a demon as well.
Gotcha. That's right.
So she's just all wrapped up into this. So she's just this rich, she's crazy. She's trying to, like, as they're trying to fight a yokai, she is trying to fight them to exercise demons out of them. There's that scene where she's pushing the ball on top of Momo's face.
She's always thought Momo was kind of weird and strange.
Yeah, and then when she found the ball, she was like, oh, she's weird and strange because she has a demon inside of her.
Okay.
So that is that whole mess right there. And then we jump into her episode where we meet a yokai who is... I don't know how to explain this, really. She's attacking girls. She latches herself to girls. And I guess eventually she kind of like drains their energy or sucks their life force out. And like all yokais, this, again, I am a crier, everyone, but I did cry this episode. Right. This episode, it's so weird to be like, there is such a beautiful episode in Dandadan, but there is a beautiful episode in Dandadan, everyone. I cannot remember the episode.
Three times.
Number. It is towards the end half of the season. We find out that this yokai attaches itself to these girls because as a human, this yokai had raised a daughter on her own and got into some money troubles and got into debt, and debt collectors came and then they killed her in front of her daughter, like her daughter was there, and then she became this spirit who was just suffering from the loss of not being able to be with her daughter anymore. And it's just such a sad, sad story. And we find out this yokai has attached itself to Ira, because I believe Ira doesn't have a mother and is raised by her dad alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't be getting this wrong because I rewatched this like three times.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out exactly. Because I was like, wait.
What? Was Ira the dad in it?
Because I was like, was Ira the daughter of the yokai spirit of the mom who
died? Acrobatic Silky.
Yeah. And was she the daughter? And then she was taken by the debt collectors and raised by them. I was like, is that the story? Or is this a different story? Is she different? She's just. Because she meets, was it Acrobatic Silky, the yokai? Because the scene we see where Ira meets her, she sees her, and the yokai's like, oh, how can you see me? No one's been able to see me. This is Ira as a little girl. She looks up, she sees her, and then her dad says, oh, come along. Let's go. We got to head out. Because
she said mommy.
Yeah, she did call her mommy. That's where I got confused. I'm like, Is that her mom, or is she like, did she lose her mom and she sees this and it's like a mother figure to her?
Mother figure, yeah.
And I believe that is the moment where Acrobatic Silky attached herself to Era.
Rest.
And we get this moment where Acrobatic Silky kills Era because. She says, basically, if I can't have her in my life, if I can't have this surrogate daughter figure in my life anymore,
right,
then no one can have her ever. And she eats her, which kills her. And they are able to bring her out of out of Silky's mouth. But she's dead. And then Momo sees the pain in Silky's eyes or being and tells her, hey, we can save her life, but it's going to cost you your life force. Whatever spiritual life force is tethering you to this world is the only thing that can bring her back to life. And what do you want to do? Do you want to be this monster or do you want to bring this girl back to life? And then, oh my gosh, I'm getting teary-eyed now thinking about it.
I know.
Silky ends up giving up her tethering to this world to bring Era back to life.
Yeah.
And it is not over anyone's head, the sacrifice that was made. And as Silky gives up this tethering to the world, is turning into ash and disappearing from existence, Era looks at her and grabs her hands, and they have this moment.
Yeah.
Of like, it's not just a thank you, but it is this motherly moment, I would say.
Yeah.
And it is so sad. It's such
a mama. So I want to say that, yes.
It was her mom?
That was her mother.
Because if it is, because I go back, it's sad. It's a sad, heartbreaking moment either way. But if it is her mom, because I don't know how old Silky is. Like, I don't know how old that spirit is the thing. But if it is her mom, then that makes this moment.
Well, her spirit would be the age of when she passed back in the day.
But then, like, that spirit can be that, it's stuck at that age forever. So if it was, like, 100 years ago. But then Era isn't 100, like, she was, like, 4.
You mean you don't know how old the actual spirit is?
Yeah, because if the spirit is, like,
as in
7 years old, then that would be the same. That would fit with it being her mother. Either way, it is a great episode, and like that is the only redeeming part of this character of Era that I enjoy.
Anime writers can do that. That's what they do. They can turn this antagonist into someone that you care about.
For an episode, for me at least, for an episode. I don't like her. I don't want another love competitor for the Momo.
Well, I'm talking about Silky, though.
Silky, yes. I thought we were talking about it. Because this is Era's character part, but Silky, though. And honestly, that's all yokais in this show, for me at least, is that we encounter them and we're like, these are they're so evil, vengeful spirits. And then you pull apart, you pull apart, to use a Shrek analogy, the onion, and we get more of this pulling the onion away, and then you get to the core and you say, hey, you weren't evil. The world made you evil. People around you made you hateful and angry. And if you can find the right group to nurture you and to like support you, then they wouldn't have turned out this way. If they could have found the right community for them.
Gotcha.
It's just very, these yokais, it is credit to the writers. Or the writer of this manga, the writers of the anime, that can bring this out. But Era, I don't like you. I don't like you as a character. I don't need you in that many episodes. I don't like you fighting over Okoron, especially the way you treated him the first time we met.
Oh, that's right. Because
eventually
just goes right into it.
Yeah, eventually she is attracted to him. She says that, well, once we get the demon out of you, we could date. Once
you're
the demon
my boyfriend.
Is gone. Yeah, right. And I don't like that because you treated him horribly the first time you met
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
You don't deserve
him.
And
now you see a prince, you don't deserve him.
Okay, we have one last character to go through. We're running a little long, but I cannot. This is my favorite guy. This makes, I don't know if you saw, I made some bracelets this year for Comic-Con that said Dandadan. And on the back, it says this guy's catchphrase on it. And, oh, man.
Didn't you pass one to somebody that cosplayed? Or?
Yeah, I was handing these out. I don't know if we saw Dandadan cosplay. I was handing them out at the Crunchyroll concert, though.
Oh, okay.
So he's got a funny catchphrase. Unfortunately, you don't see it in this season. You don't hear it in this season. But
oh, okay.
It is funny. You hear it in season two. But he's my best boy. I love this person. I want to be friends with him. I want to hang out. I want to talk about chill, dance. I don't dance, but I want to dance with this guy. So cool. It's the one. It's the only. It's Gigi. Love Gigi.
You said you want to dance with the guy.
I don't even dance, but I want to dance with Gigi. Gigi comes in at the last two episodes, last three mm-hmm. episodes of the season. Gigi is Momo's friend from childhood. And did you notice a little interesting fact about Gigi? Do you remember in episode one when Momo said, or no, episode one or two, when Momo says that she has this spiritual power and her grandma used to make her go to school with like her finger on her head, mm-hmm. channeling the yep. energy? And she yeah. said she would do that every day until one boy that she liked made fun of her. Did you know that boy was Gigi?
Gigi?
That was Gigi. And it's not that yeah. much of a secret because in the episode we meet Gigi, he does say, I'm sorry, Momo, that I made fun of you when we were kids. Gigi knows what he's done wrong. He is making up for it. Gigi could do no wrong in my eyes. Gigi is perfect. So I'm throwing that out there. So all my comments about Gigi are biased. So I'm going to turn it to you. What do you think about Gigi?
Oh, my God. Okarun's reaction to Gigi was just my favorite. He first burst into the door. And he's like, who is this guy? And I like his thought in his talking to himself in his mind. He was like, and why is he looking at her like that? And he's like, oh my God, does he like her? Does she like him? It's just so cute. But then you cannot help but like Gigi. He's so cool. He's unintentionally funny.
He's so himself.
He's so himself.
So unapologetic. Unapologetically himself is what I love.
And he gives the story the time to just be easy and not be so intense. So he softens things up a little bit. You can just concentrate on him. He's just so funny. What is he going to do next? What is he going to say? And then he's a good-looking character, too. I'm like, oh, he's kind of cute.
He's got the style. He's got the style.
He's definitely got the style.
Jacket.
So now I'm
going to
be looking around cool. for Gigi's.
Oh, man. Gigi cosplayers, where are you at? Gigi's so cool. I love Gigi so much.
He's so cool.
And
that bro, they got that bro comedy, him and Okarun.
They get along.
With them two together.
I don't know. This is tough. It's tough because I watched season two. I won't say anything.
Oh, man.
But he does get along with Okarun. And they have this friendship. And, oh my gosh, watch season two, everyone. Please. And then I could watch season two and then message me on Anime Bento Instagram.
I made a mistake and watched season...
Did you watch episode one of season two?
Episode one of season two, because it kind of just kept going. And I'm like, wait a second. I think I'm supposed to watch this.
So
I don't know about this moment between those two is in the first episode of season two, or if it was in the last episode. But I love their dynamic together. They're so cool.
They are so great. The friendship is there. Gigi is such an easygoing character. He treats everyone like their family. He's great. We don't get
friendly,
too much
cool,
of Gigi.
Kind
of
goofy. Because at first I thought he was going to be like a little too confident. But no, he's goofy. He's so Gigi.
He is so
like,
Gigi.
What's up? He's so bro.
But bro in the good way. It's not like...
Bro in a good way. Yes, he's bro in a good way.
We don't get too much of Gigi in this season. And remember, like, era, I was like, for her, I didn't want the competition and the love. But with Gigi, I'm like, you know what, Momo? These are both good picks. Momo, you got good choices out there. I'm not going to be upset with either one. We know who you want to be with.
That's in season. Is that in episode one, season two, where they're going back and forth where he says, so what do you think about Momo?
Oh, wait, I think that's season two.
Okay, sorry.
But when they're playing soccer, right?
Oh, yes, that is.
Yeah, that's in season two.
Bang.
Or that might.
Was it?
Okay, because I do remember season one ends with them going on the train, going to his house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that is season one.
Yeah. And they have such a great friendship.
He's asking, remember, because he's trying to size him up to see if he really likes
Momo.
Where he was like, so what do you like about Momo? And what Okura says, oh, I just like that I like that she's into ghosts and that, you know, that kind of stuff. And he goes, oh, I just like that she's pretty. I like her eyes.
And then Okuron is like, I like her eyes too. I like her lips. He's like, it as a great
you do like her.
But I love Gigi. Gigi is so great. I don't think there are any other characters, though, in the series.
I think that's it.
That's it.
Except for the bullies and the men in business suit aliens.
Yeah. The different yokais. But yeah.
That one dude. Oh, wait. Oh, my God. Is he in? No, I'm sorry. He's in seats.
Are you talking about the nerdy guy? Two.
No. The body guy. Running.
Oh, the mannequin?
Yeah.
That's season one. That's like a one-shot episode. Yeah.
Okay. No, the mannequin is at the end of the season.
Yeah, in season one, before they had the Gigi's place.
That's right. So, okay, so tell me more about that, because I'm still trying to figure it out.
Right.
What's the backstory? The introduction of that character.
In one of the episodes, we get this mannequin that's running, and it's from the school. This mannequin's one of those skeleton-y body things.
Yeah, the body.
Where it teaches you about the organs and the inside
Mr. Body.
Of the human body. And the kids have gone to investigate what is this spirit running from the school. And it's this mannequin that keeps running all around town. And it destroys things because it's just running through things. And they are trying to figure out, why is it doing this? What is its problem? Do we need to get the demon out of it? They end up finding that originally that school had two mannequins, one male one and one female one, and they were in love together. But the female one got broken, so they threw it away in the trash, and the male one has been running around town trying to find the female one.
I totally missed that hole.
And they find the female one in the dumpster, like in the, what is it called? Oh my gosh. Landfill.
Trash compactor?
Yeah. No, they find it in the landfill and they rescue it. But they say, hey, we can't bring this back to the high school. It's going to be weird. And they'll just throw it away probably. So at the end of the day, they decide to keep the female mannequin, who was also alive. And there's a spirit in there. At grandma's house at the temple. And it lives there. And then every night, the male mannequin can run to meet the female one. And they can be together for the night.
Wait. Does everybody see this male? Everybody can see this male mannequin running around? How come nobody's, like, jumping around scared?
That's just the world we live in. Well, because it's running around so fast. It's just destroying things. Remember, they're at school at night and they're trying to investigate and they're just like, oh, it's spooky at school at night. And then they see the mannequin running around and then it starts running around town. I think you need to rewatch this episode.
Rewatch that episode. Okay, so, so now he's staying alive for, so he doesn't stay alive forever. He goes back to the school and just bees a mannequin?
Yeah, but at night he comes back to the temple to be with his girlfriend or his wife. In the sense, this is a filler episode, everyone. This is one you could skip and you'd be fine. It is just a very cute love story. Because spoilers,
yeah, I have to
again,
re-watch that.
At the end of the episode, because they promise the mannequins that if the female one stays at the temple, the male one will come meet her. And they say before sunrise, the male one will come meet you during the evening. And the female one is waiting at the little front of the temple entrance, waiting for him to come back. And he doesn't show up, and it's getting later and later in the evening, so earlier in the morning. And Momo comes up to the female mannequin, just is like, he's gonna come, don't worry, he will. You know, because she's getting upset because he's not coming. Momo's trying to be supportive. And at the very end, the male mannequin shows up, and we find, like, something happened to him. He's been broken or whatnot, but he had trouble getting out of the school, getting there. But he was able to get there, like, the very last minute. And they were able to be together for, like, a couple of seconds or something like that. It was very beautiful. Rewatch it.
Hey, but so then he meets her for a couple of seconds, then he just freezes and turns
into
a mannequin?
Then they have to walk him back to the high school.
How did I miss that? I must have been.
It's probably because you were like, it's a filler. Because, again, spoilers, we never see these mannequins ever again. These mannequins never come back. You don't see them just hanging around the temple. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm glad you loved
Dan
them.
Dan. That is so. I'll have to rewatch it. I'm going to the panel at New York Comic Con, the Dan to Dan.
Oh, nice.
Panel.
I'm so jealous. I need to get out there. I need to go to New York Comic Con one year.
Yes, you do.
One year I'll get out there.
Dan to Dan, 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 Dan to Dan.
Oh, man. Just another fact for you guys. If you love the theme song and you're going to Coachella this year, which is the year 2020. Wait, no. If you're going to Coachella next year in 2026. The band Creepy Nuts, who does the theme song for Dan to Dan, will be there.
Oh, wow.
They also do another theme song. They do a lot of anime theme songs. I think five of their songs are in animes. So if you're there, please send me a video. I can't go to Coachella next year, but I would love to hear Dan to Creepy Nuts perform. So please, that is my begging of you guys.
I'm sure you'll be able to find it on the
I mean, social. One of my very good friends is going. You know who you are. You're listening. So the themes of this anime, I would say the theme of this anime season one is the theme of connections, love, and friendship, and the power of that between people. The power of all of that between like Momo and her grandma, and Momo and Okoron, and Gigi to Momo, and Gigi to Okoron. It's more than just, you know what? I would say it's love. Because love doesn't have to be a romantic or sexual thing. Love can be friendship. And I would say that the love that they all share for each other is what keeps them good people. And you can see that the flip side of the yokai who didn't have the love and what happened to them. The love that our group gives each other supports them and that they're not afraid to share, like, I love ghosts or I love UFOs or I'm here to fight this or be vulnerable about I think I'm being attacked by a ghost in Gigi's sense and that's why we're here, is what keeps them all strong and keeps them all healthy and pure in a sense. And then we see on the flip side with, like, Silky or Turbo Granny is that they started off with love, or that the love that they cherished, in Sugi's case, with her child or Turbo Granny, for these victims, and how that the world has changed that or hurt them in a sense that it turned them into evil creatures, and that the lack of love and the lack of connection, the lack of friendship made them monsters.
Mm-hmm. Preach. So,
that is what I take away from this anime, and I think that for me is the theme and the message of Dan to Dan season one for me. If we were to take something, of course it's a fun, interesting, comical show, but at the end of the day, this is kind of I always believe there's a message you could take away from a series, and this is kind of what I got from that. I don't know, what do you think? What did you take away from season one?
Yeah, this Yep. You can feel the love between all the characters. I love that moment where they're in grandmom's house and they're having dinner. Oh my God. Can we talk about the food? Why is anime food
so delicious?
Looks so good. Why? Oh my God. When they're just all sitting around the table and just eating and joking around. And,
I love in animes too when they're eating and they're just like their mouths are vacuums because they're just like eating all the food at one time. That's like my favorite.
But yeah, I have the same sentiments of you. That's what the whole tone is about with Dandadan is a sense of I believe in you and what you said you see, what you feel, what you saw, and sense of just being a family. Let's take care of each other, and we're all in this together. And I can see that's where the tone is going to continue to go with more seasons of it. I hope there's more seasons after season two. And now I want to see it in theater.
Maybe season three.
Now I see what the hoopla was about when they had that theater moment. I was like, ugh. But because I didn't watch the series, I'm like, I'm not going to go watch the movie if I don't watch the series.
Before we dive into our favorite moments, just speaking on anime movies in theaters, if you have a chance, and we'll post this on the Instagram, go check out anime in theaters. There's nothing cooler than seeing your favorite anime or any anime on the big screen. And the energy watching it with other fans, every now and then a rando will come in and watch the movie. But for the most part, these are fans of the series and fans of this show. So when something cool happens, they're not going to be quiet. They're going to cheer. It's going to be the feelings you're feeling. And when characters they love come out, just do it. It's worth the money. Go see whatever show is having a premiere at the theaters. Go to the theaters. It's worth it. And you get the popcorn, you get the drink, and you get it's the experience. It's great. Do it. But that being said, I think there's a couple of favorite moments we both have that we didn't really get to talk about. What are some of your favorite moments that we didn't get to hit?
The ridiculous transformations of Okorun. When he transforms, I just find all of his transformations are just like, what? Oh, and then we get to meet, I guess what is it? Is it Turbo Granny's magic spirit that's in Okorun? We get to hear him and how somber he is, and he's bored, and he's, why do I hear? All of those moments when he transforms are just my favorite, one of my favorite moments of the TV series. Those transformations are awesome. And I want to go back and watch or find a compilation of all of those transformations because those are like some unique creative animation with that. What about you?
Just a couple that we didn't get to share. I love one of my favorite moments is the episode one where after Momo defends Okorun and he comes out and he's like, I know why you talk to me. There's only one reason you would have talked to me. And he says, it's because you're into the cult as well. And he opens his magazines and he shows these pictures of the aliens. And he says, the U.S. is forming an airstrike team. It's because they're fighting the aliens. Theories. And then he says, Japan is also forming an airstrike team to fight the aliens. There's going to be a war and it's going to be in space or in the skies. And Momo says, that's stupid. Aliens are stupid. Aliens aren't real. And then she walks away from him, and as she comes back, she says, that was harsh. I didn't mean to make fun of you like that. She says, actually, I believe in ghosts. And Okorun starts laughing at her, and he says, ghosts are stupid. Ghosts aren't real. How do you believe in ghosts? Ghosts aren't even real. And Moa is just has his face up. How dare you? I came here to say I'm sorry. And then you just laugh in my face. That's a great tone to the first episode.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Another moment I love is when Okorun has to poop and Momo is controlling Turbo Granny's spirit inside of him. So, because if she stops controlling the spirit, Turbo Granny will take control of Okoron's full body. This is before they got split apart. So she has to constantly be looking at Okoron and have her hands towards him. And then he's like, I have to poop. And she says, well, if I look away, then the spirit will take over you. And he says, I don't want to soil my pants in front of you. It's
but
funny.
But he just goes and does it, right?
Yeah, he Didn't eventually he finds a place to poo. Yeah. And one last thing is Turbo Granny, when they are racing, and Okoron and Momo challenge Turbo Granny to a race to get her spirit out of his body. And they're like, and they say, okay, give us a 100-second head start, something along the lines of that. And Turbo Granny agrees. And
no, it was 10 minutes.
Was it 10 minutes? Oh, what? Yeah, it was 10 minutes. She was like, and Turbo Granny counts like this. 1 minute, 17 minutes, 3 minutes, 40 minutes, 6 minutes. And Okoron says, why do you count like that? Those are just some of my favorite moments. There's a crab spirit that's hilarious. It's great. I love the show.
Yeah, me too.
So with every anime that we watch and we talk about, we give them a rating based off our rating scale. Karma, what rating do you give Dan to Dan Season 1?
For my first dive into Dan to Dan, I give it a solid mouthwatering. The mix of ghosts, aliens, and total unpredictability kept me hooked, and the pacing never felt like it dragged. It was flavorful, wild, and had me curious about what's to come next. It's not quite a chef's kiss masterpiece for me, because sometimes the tone shifts were a little overwhelming, and it was an absolutely satisfying, bold experience. I walked away entertained, impressed by the creativity, and ready for another helping. So I would say mouth-watering was the way for it to go. But as I started watching, I could tell that season two is, now I'm getting into the story, it's going to be even better, the story. So I can see a shift going towards a chef's kiss, maybe.
Well, for me, chef's kiss. If you listen to our little trailer for the podcast, you know that Dan to Dan is one of my favorite animes. I love this so much. It's everything I like. And when you brought up The X-Files, I grew up watching The X-Files with my dad. It was one of his favorite shows. And maybe I love The X-Files. So this could be why I really love this show. Again, aliens, cryptids, ghosts. That's my jam. I love spooky season. So this anime has all of it. And then it has the funny moments, the humor in it. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but then it has these moments where it is very serious and it does show us this heartwarming side, not heartwarming, but this heartbreaking side.
Human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It very humanizes these monsters and it's so good. And then Gigi puts it over the top for me.
Aww.
Love myself some Gigi. So for me, chef's kiss. I cannot wait for everyone to watch season two, dive into it. Netflix, Crunchyroll, watch it. It's so good. I love season two so much. There's so many great moments in it.
Do you think it's better than season one?
That's tough. You need both. See?
Okay.
If season one is the appetizer, season two is a good main course to find, a good next dish.
Okay.
Putting in our food term. Food
is the
terms.
Entree?
Yeah, the entree. Yeah.
The entree.
Mm-hmm. And season three should be a good dessert. I don't want dessert yet, though. I want more seasons of Dan to Dan.
Right.
I don't want it to
be
over, though.
Keep this chef's menu going.
Yeah. I will say, though, the theme song to season two is not as banger as season one's theme song.
They changed the theme song.
They did. The Creepy Nuts theme song is so good in the first season. Those are just our opinions. We love to hear what y'all thought about the season. Please leave a comment. Please leave a comment telling us your favorite moments, your favorite characters, your least favorite moments, characters you didn't like. Because, you know, there's some for me I didn't like. But you can find us on Anime Bento Pod. You can find me at Jimsta2.
And you can find me at 28 Savage Days, wherever you check out your socials.
Yes. And check out Karma streaming most Sundays if she's not out of town. It's hilarious. Yep. Sometimes I'm on there. It's fun. You're going to enjoy your time. But that's all for this week's episode. Until next time, stay legendary.
And don't forget to take a moment to press start, nerds.
Bye.